Good morning, everyone. My name is Mary, and I've come to share with you some of my story. But before I do, I would like you to think for a moment about what precious moments do you treasure in your heart? Maybe some things from your childhood, some memories that you have. Maybe when you met your husband or wife. Maybe when you had your first children, or not just your first child, but all of your children. Think back over those special times. Think too about the precious times you've had with God and the special memories that you have from Him. When did you first become aware of His reality and how much He loved you? When did you come to realise first the significance of Jesus' death for you? And what special moments have you had with God in prayer, in worship, in reading His word? And when have you been aware of the Holy Spirit leading you in your life and guiding you and teaching you? You can probably guess what my special moments have been, what my highlights have been, and the special trust that I have been given in my life and the privilege that I have had. But I wonder, how do you view Jesus? Is He precious to you? Has He become more precious to you over the years or less? And do you feel privileged to know Him? Perhaps sometimes, like me, you need to be reminded about who He really is. Today I want to share some things with you that I believe can help you to know and treasure the Lord Jesus more and help you as we draw closer to Christmas and celebrating that, that we would remember God and have Him first in our celebrations. You may be wondering what an old woman can say that will be of benefit to you. In fact, in the Jewish culture in which I lived, I would never have been able to get up and speak like this, especially in the presence of men. Your situation will be quite different to mine, but keep considering as you hear, what can you learn that will help you grow in your understanding, love and life for God? I love seeing the video before, the children's video. It depicted it so well, but I would like to share in my own words some of my story. But yet it's not really my story. It's God's story. I knew this prophecy, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Israel had been waiting for the Messiah to come for over 400 years. And down through the generations, many young women had thought that they might be the mother of the Messiah. But I wasn't one of them. I lived in Nazareth, and that's just a very small town. It was an unimportant town, and I was just an ordinary girl. I wasn't important at all. And it had also been prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. So I knew that someone from that important city, they would be the favoured one to bear that precious child. But I did love God, and I was waiting for the Messiah to come. I was engaged to a man called Joseph, as you saw on the video. He was older than I, and my father had arranged the marriage so that I would be protected and would be provided for. But as you saw, one day, something happened that would change my life forever. It would change Joseph's life too, but Kay's going to talk about that next week. As you saw in the video, I was just going about my everyday tasks when the angel appeared and said to me, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." And as you saw on the video, I was troubled. How could I be highly favoured? How was the Lord with me? I didn't understand that. I was troubled. But as you saw, the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God." And these following words were totally unexpected. He said, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." I could hardly comprehend what I was hearing. This was the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. So many thoughts came to mind, but I only had one question, and that was about conceiving and giving birth to a child. "How can this be?" I said. "I'm a virgin." My question wasn't from lack of faith, because I know God can do anything. I was just wondering, how was that going to happen? The angel replied and answered my question. "The Holy Spirit will come on you," he said, "and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Can you imagine what it was like to hear those words? To think, I have been chosen to give birth to the Son of God? For a fleeting moment, I thought of what it could mean for me. What would Joseph say? What would people think? I was a virgin to become pregnant? But what were those concerns when God was entrusting me with such a precious gift? How could I not say yes? How could I not respond to his request and his blessing? I simply said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." As you heard last week, after that special news, I went to see my cousin Elizabeth, as you heard of, and she also was expecting a special child promised by God. And it was so wonderful to be able to talk together about the way in which God was now fulfilling his promises to our people, his promises made to Abraham so long ago. And as you know, I did indeed give birth to this special baby in Bethlehem, totally in a totally different, unexpected way. I even had to lay my baby in an animal's feeding trough, like this one here, because of where I gave birth to him. How strange to think that such an obscure place would be the birthplace of the Son of the Almighty God. In future weeks here at Ringwood, you're going to hear about the different people that came to visit the precious Son, the precious gift from God. And each of them helped me to know and understand more about the preciousness of Jesus and the privilege of being chosen to be his mother. And as the years passed, I often reflected back and pondered all of these memories. And Joseph and I also marvelled about all the things that were said about Jesus. Next week, Kay might tell you about the time we had to go to Egypt to keep Jesus safe. But then after that, we went to Nazareth and we just lived an ordinary life until Jesus was 12 years old. Together we went up, as we usually did, to Jerusalem for Passover, and we travelled in a big group of friends and family, and we thought Jesus was with us as we travelled back that night. But at night time we realised he was missing. He wasn't with us, so we went all the way back to Jerusalem, and we still didn't find him quickly. In fact, it took us 3 days before we found Jesus. I think you know where he was. He was in the temple. And you mothers will understand, I was so relieved, but also so upset. I said, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." I was surprised by Jesus' reply. He said, "Why did you need to search for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" I didn't fully understand at the time. I think I was still so stirred up. But as I've reflected later, I think Jesus was gently reminding me who his father really was. Joseph was a good man, but he wasn't Jesus' real father. And I needed to remember who the real father of my son was. Jesus wasn't being disrespectful. In fact, when we went back home, he continued to obey Joseph and I. And the Bible tells us, well, you know, I can tell you, he grew in wisdom. He grew physically. He grew in favour with God and man. But as time went by, as he grew into adulthood, I could see that our relationship would change. Jesus had been baptized by his cousin John, and he was starting to gather a group of disciples around him. And one time when he was around 30, I was invited to a wedding, and so was he and the disciples. As the wedding went by, I became aware that there was no more wine. Now, in our culture then, as I think in your culture now, to run out of wine at a wedding could bring great shame and disgrace and embarrassment to a family. So of course I went to my son and I went and said to him, they have no more wine. In reality, I was insisting silently, implying that he should do something about it. But Jesus' reply caught me off guard. He replied, woman, woman, I'm his mother. Woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. Yet again, I didn't fully understand what Jesus was doing or why he was saying this. But as I reflected on it, I've come to realize Jesus was actually helping me to understand that he wasn't going to remain the son that was close to me. I needed to realize again, I couldn't control him. I couldn't contain him. I needed to acknowledge that he had a different task. He had been born for something different. I didn't fully understand what that was, but it didn't involve just doing what I asked him to do and being the faithful, dutiful son at home. I could see the distance and separation coming, and I found that even greater a few years later when my other sons and I were starting to become concerned about Jesus. People were coming to him all the time to hear him talk, to be healed, and we realized, we heard that he didn't even have time to eat. And as a mother, I became concerned. I also knew that the religious authorities were not liking some of the things he was saying. And I felt we needed to talk to Jesus and tell him to tone things down, to be careful, or he could get himself in serious trouble. He was even being accused of casting out demons by the power of Satan himself. We felt we needed to go and speak to Jesus. And when we arrived where he was sitting with a whole group of people. And so we sent someone in to call him to come out to us so we could talk to him. But instead of coming out to see us, Jesus said, who are my mother? Who are my brothers? He said to the group of people with him, whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. That hurt me. I thought, I'm his mother. I've raised him all these years. But again, I had to understand Jesus didn't belong to us. We couldn't contain him in our small family. Jesus had come for the whole world. We needed to release him. We needed to allow him to do God's work. If I had my choice, I wouldn't have wanted to see him go to the cross. I would have been like Peter, who tried to stop him going. But I had to release him for God's will. And that leads me to the worst day of my life. When the little baby that I had held was nailed to a cross. And I saw his pain and I saw his agony. And I could do nothing about it. Later, I realized even more so that my sin was one of the reasons he was on the cross. Imagine the pain of a mother realizing that. But Jesus wasn't holding that against me on the cross. In fact, you will know, if you know your Bibles, the precious and wonderful thing that Jesus did for me right then on the cross. He saw me standing there and he saw his disciple John and he entrusted me to John to look after me. He provided for me. He wanted to make sure that I was protected. What precious love from my son, even while he was dying there for your sin and for mine. But you can imagine my joy 3 days later when I learnt that he was alive. He had risen. He told us that before. He told us he was going to rise, but for some reason we didn't believe him or we didn't understand. But how precious to receive him back from the dead. to know that he was alive. But as you know, 40 days after, he went back to heaven. He ascended to be with his Father. I've asked if we can play a video because I want you to maybe see in a different way the emotions and the events that took place during the time while Jesus was here on earth and the privilege that I had of being his mother.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh Mary, did you know?
What a beautiful song. I'm sure Mary didn't know the full extent of what her submission to God's will would entail. I wanted to come back not as Mary, but as myself, because there's some things I'd like to share that I think Mary perhaps wouldn't have said for herself. But while I was just getting changed, I've left the clicker outside, so I'm hoping if maybe you guys could change it for me. Let's pick up where Mary left off. After Jesus' ascension, we read of her in Scripture in the book of Acts, joining with the disciples and her sons who had by now come to trust in Jesus. We see them together joining in prayer. Mary didn't see herself as different or separate, but she saw herself now as the beloved child of God, who was able to come into relationship with God through Jesus. We also know that's not the end of the story in relation to Jesus either, because we know, we read in Scripture in Acts also, that as Jesus left and returned back to his Father in heaven, he then sent the Holy Spirit to come and indwell each of us. So Mary, in a sense, didn't lose her son. She gained the Saviour and she gained the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Thanks, Anne. Sometimes when people have lost loved ones, they like to say, "He's in my heart," or "She's in my heart," or "She's here with me." And that's true in a sense, in their memories and in their love and their understanding of that person and the relationship they have. But when we talk about being indwelt or having Jesus in our heart, that is true. He, by his Holy Spirit, indwells us. And Mary had that message as well, or had that knowledge and understanding as well. Mary was blessed and privileged to bear the Lord Jesus, to bring him to birth, to raise him as her son. It was a miraculous message that she was given by the angel that day of who her son would be. But we also have an amazing life-transforming message to share, and that's the whole message of Jesus, his perfect sinless life, his death and his resurrection. When you saw the title for today's message, did you think A Precious Trust was referring to Mary's trust in God? While it's true that she did trust and obey God, the precious trust was instead referring to the Lord Jesus. She was entrusted with the Lord Jesus to bear him, to bring him, as I said, to adulthood, and then to release him to what God had called him to. We need to realise that Jesus is the precious trust that is given for all, given for each of us here, given for the people in Mary's time, and given for people for the rest of time. I'd like to share two passages with you that I think explain even more clearly for us about Jesus. Refers to Mary, but shows that she wasn't the central person in the whole Christmas story. When the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman. God sent him to buy freedom for us so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, "Abba, Father." Just as we've talked about, the Holy Spirit came, and I love how this explains it, that we now call God Father. This next verse I love as well. Since the children have flesh and blood, that's us, Jesus too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of the devil and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. He had to be made like them, like us, fully human, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, for our sins. Both those passages I love because the one tells us about how Jesus came to defeat Satan, but then the second one comes to tell us that he came for our sins so that we could know God, that he could be the faithful high priest to bring us to God. Excuse me. The Bible brings this all together in this way. When we receive Jesus for ourselves, then we have Christ in us. Mary bore him physically, but we bear him now through the Holy Spirit. And he is our hope of glory. We would have no hope of knowing God without Jesus, no hope of being accepted by him, or of having our sins forgiven, or of having eternal life. But because of Jesus, we're now part of God's family. Initially, Mary would have thought that Jesus' coming was just for Israel, but we have since come to know that he came for us Gentiles, those of us who are here, those who are watching on live stream, and those throughout history who weren't from the Jewish nation, but are now brought in because of Christ. We can certainly learn lessons from Mary's life and be grateful for her faith and obedience, but we need to remember that Jesus alone is our great high priest, and it's only through him that we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Over the years, people have made the mistake of putting Mary on a pedestal and worshipping her. As I was preparing for this, I even read that some referred to her as the Mother of God. But that actually makes it sound as if she's equal with God, or even superior. And in preparing this message, I've been struck by Mary's humility and teachability. She acknowledged that she was the Lord's servant and that she needed a saviour. She would have been horrified to think that people would worship her instead of worshipping Jesus. She was a sinner just like us, but she's also a beloved child of God, along with all others like us who put their faith in the Lord Jesus. So our focus should always be on Jesus, who gave himself for us. He is the precious one. But there are still some lessons we can learn from Mary's life, as you will see. These were just some that stood out to me. She submitted her life to God's will in spite of the potential cost to her reputation and her happiness. She realised she wasn't the main attraction, even at the birth of her son. She didn't insist on asserting her motherly authority, but she also experienced Jesus' love and care in a personal and unique way, and she took her place amongst the other believers in prayer and worship. So we can learn from that. These are some of the things that I thought of as I reflected on this. Am I more concerned about being the centre of attention than I am about pointing others to Jesus? Am I submitted to God's will, or have I been resisting his will for me in a certain area of my life? Do I accept the correction of God and others graciously and humbly, or do I proudly seek to justify myself and insist on my own way? And do I need to remember that Jesus loves me and hasn't forgotten me, even if I'm going through difficult circumstances, or even if I'm acutely aware of my sin? And do I remember with gratitude the times when God has shown me his love and care in unique ways? I love Mary's simple words of faith after the angel revealed God's plan to her. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. That's a simple prayer of faith and submission to God's plan. Perhaps at the moment you don't know the specific plan or purpose that God has for you in this particular period of your life. Perhaps like Mary was initially, you're afraid and overwhelmed. I would encourage you to pray this: I am your servant, Lord, and trust him. But even more than the lessons we can learn from Mary, the main application for us today should be in relation to the Lord Jesus. And as I look at the group of people who are here, I know that many of you do already know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. But I guess I would still pose the question to any who are watching the live stream or any here, in fact, all of us: has there been a time in your life when you have thanked Jesus for dying in your place and for all that he has done for you? If you haven't, then that could be something you could do right today, knowing Jesus died for you, knowing that he loved you, knowing that he took your sin. You could simply come to God and ask Jesus to forgive you for your sin and to be your Lord and Saviour. But for those of us who do know him as our Lord and Saviour, we have been entrusted with the precious good news of Jesus to go and tell others so they can come into relationship with us. And it's important that we're intentionally praying for and consciously looking for opportunities to tell others about Jesus, especially those who haven't had the opportunities that we have, and especially as we approach Christmas. there's one pitfall that we all need to avoid, I think, as we approach Christmas, and that is thinking of Jesus just as the baby whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. His life didn't start when he was born and placed in that manger. He'd always existed throughout eternity. He was there when the world created. We've seen that he came to earth as a baby so that he could become a man and bear our sin and destroy the power of the devil so we could be set free from the fear of death. And we've also seen that the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, he now indwells us. But one day we will see his majesty. We will see him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we'll be able to worship, love and adore him with our whole hearts then. But let's not leave it till then. Let's adore and worship and praise him now, not only with our words but with our attitude and our hearts. As I've looked at this study, I've been convicted on a lot of levels, especially as I think about Mary and how she responded to things she didn't understand. She still responded with humility and faith and trust, even when she needed to learn her place, I guess. And I think I've been challenged in that, to realise that I need to give God the highest place in my life and not think I can take it for myself. I wonder what you think you need to stop doing or start doing in relation to Jesus as we move towards Christmas time. What's something that you'll do differently in the lead up to and celebration of Christmas? Jesus is the precious trust that has been given for us all. As we move towards Christmas, it can often get very busy. You may have your own very special traditions of remembering and celebrating Jesus. We also, I think, have all many celebrations and traditions around how we actually celebrate Christmas with family. Often it's the presents or the meals and so forth. But let's take time to consider, how can I keep my focus on who he is and what he's done this time as we celebrate? I'm going to leave just a few moments of silence so you can actually reflect for yourself where things are at in your relationship with Jesus. And you might like to pray your own prayer to him or think about what he would have you to do. And then I'll finish in prayer. Father, we cannot really imagine what it would have been like to be Mary and to be entrusted with the privilege of giving birth to the Lord Jesus. But we thank you that he did come, laying aside his heavenly glory to become human, so that he could take on our sin to make the way for us to become your children, both now and in eternity. Please help us to continue to praise you with sincere hearts for your precious, costly gift to us in the Lord Jesus, and to live our lives in such a way as to give you the honour and praise that you so richly deserve. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.